Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The first half of 2023, specifically the period after Fed Chair Jerome Powell's March bailout of the U.S. banking system, through the end of July, held the narrative that the economy would enjoy a soft landing, if one at all, in the context of slowing inflation. This would then allow the Fed to cut rates in short order and provide for a robust rebound in earnings per share from the recession of the past three quarters. Well, to put numbers on what actually happened, headline CPI did indeed come down to 3.1% year over year in June from 6.3% year over year in January. Meanwhile, GDP growth accelerated from 2% in the first quarter to 2.4% in Q2. Hence, we have seen the rate of inflation cut in half, while economic growth has strengthened, at least according to the official government data. Now, while I agree the rate of inflation has indeed fallen, as I predicted, we were in a disinflationary environment, the economy, on the other hand, has actually weakened during the year, according to other data sources than the Bureau of Economic Analysis. This is evidenced by falling gross domestic income, negative, not up, not robustly up, falling gross domestic income, reduced government tax receipts. I mean, after all, if the economy is growing, wouldn't the government be able to derive more income from payrolls? That would be assumed to be true. There was no tax cuts enacted in the last few quarters. And the basically unchanged index of aggregate hours worked. There's been no new and improved labor impulse into the economy. It's just been flat. So the economy is not growing, contradictory to what you will hear in the mainstream financial media. And please don't be misled by the July retail sales report. As I said, the mainstream financial media wants you to believe the July 0.7% increase in retail sales was all about a strong consumer and an accelerating economy. The truth is, what the government is mostly measuring in July was an increase in gasoline prices and other inflation that rose due to other spiking commodity prices. I mean, after all, the retail sales report is measured in nominal terms. You know that. So inflation is often misconstrued as growth. So by underestimating inflation, the government is overcounting growth, and the media misconstrues this as confirmation of a soft landing story, which will engender the start of a new bull market. That's what they say. Quite the contrary. Secular, healthy, genuine bull markets tend to begin after asset bubbles pop and after debt levels have been reset. That's not what's happening now. The median home price to income ratio is at a record high. The total market cap of equities to GDP is close to a record high. And the price to sales ratio is higher today than in any other time prior to 2020. So we have record asset bubbles in stocks, record asset bubbles in real estate. You don't start a bull market from that point. That's not your springboard for a new higher level of equity and real estate prices. And there has been no deleveraging either. Total U.S. public and private debt to GDP is at a pre-pandemic high. Bull markets don't start when the real Fed funds rate soars from minus 8% to a positive 2.5%. Stocks do not sustainably break out while the Fed has hiked rates from 0 to 5.3% and doing QT, and when a net 50.8% of banks are tightening lending standards. That's not the genesis of a bull market. Those conditions have caused the money supply to shrink for the first time since the Great Depression of the 1930s. That doesn't engender a bull market. The leading economic index and the National Federation of Independent Business Survey and the inverted yield curve all scream recession. The regional banking system is faltering, as evidenced by their stock prices. They're down 22% this year and down 33% year over year. That's the entire regional banking system. That doesn't engender a bull market. So what can we expect in the second half of 2023? I believe something completely different. The second half of this year should witness a reduction in the rate of inflation's decline. It's not going to go from 6% to 3%. It's probably going to stay around 3%, maybe drift up a little bit higher, but it's not going to go down to 3 to 2 very quickly. Most importantly, the stickiness of inflation should occur in the context of an acute slowdown in the official GDP data. In other words, during the first half of the year, the market enjoyed slowing inflation in the context of a reportedly healthy economy. Whereas in the second half of the year, what should become manifest is the reason why inflation slowed in the first place. The U.S. economy is in big trouble. Now, I understand the Atlanta Fed GDP now has Q3 growth accelerating to an incredible 5%. That's what the market is trading on today. However, in sharp contrast, private sources have growth with just a one handle in front of it. I concur with the latter estimate, and here are some of the reasons why. The U.S. manufacturing sector is in a recession, and the service sector is barely growing, according to ISM data. Corporate earnings have declined for 3 straight quarters. Corporate defaults have surged 53% in just the first half of the year, not as compared to the first half of last year, as compared to the entire number of defaults throughout 2022. So if there isn't one more default in this year, corporate defaults are up 53%. Credit card, auto, and personal loan defaults and delinquencies are rising sharply. Cash-strapped consumers have been forced into piling on more credit card debt just to make ends meet. Credit card debt has soared to a record high $1 trillion. 401k hardship loans have spiked 36% this year. The employment placement company ZipRecruiter said last week that the number of job openings and employers' willingness to pay for those job openings is now declining. The mortgage purchase index continued its descent lower to 149.5, which is a 20-year low, just as mortgage rates hit a 23-year high. But it's not just the U.S. that's in trouble. The global economy is in terrible condition. China, which is the second largest economy on the planet, is floundering. Retail sales and industrial production have slowed sharply. Property investment fell for the 17th consecutive month. In fact, retail sales were up just 2.5% as compared to the July 22 period. And that was when the economy was shut down due to COVID. The economic data is so bad in China that the communist government decided it would no longer publish its youth jobless rate, which hit a record high of 21.3% in June. Hey, when things get bad, why talk about them? Meanwhile, the world's third largest economy, the European Union, is merely bouncing along the flat line. It had Q2 GDP growth of just 0.3%, which followed a Q1 growth rate of 0.1%. These conditions that I just talked about in the United States and the world cannot lead to a U.S. economy booming by anything close to 5%. The fact is the U.S. economy is saturated with a record amount of debt. And the cost to service that debt is soaring. That is a very dangerous combination. On top of all this, the political, fiscal, and monetary insanity makes the U.S. resemble more and more like a banana republic. Most of our leaders are feckless. That's true. But they are also megalomaniacs that want to keep power by any means necessary, even if it leads to the long-term destruction of the nation. That's sad, but the evidence is clear. I know it's extremely crucial to have patience at this juncture, and I also realize that nothing really is working now except NVIDIA. Bonds are getting killed. Many of the defensive sectors like healthcare and gold isn't working any longer. It's only AI that is working really right now. But that should change in a big way in the second half of this year for all the reasons I stated in this podcast, which will engender a sharp slowdown in economic growth. Now, it is true that Pento Portfolio Strategies has underperformed the market in the first half of this year. But we are concerned about the business cycle to date, not the year-to-date performance. The business cycle peaked at the end of 2021 when I said it would. So I don't want to hear anybody bragging about their 2023 returns this year without also telling me how you did. How much money did you lose in 2022? Reality is coming slowly, indeed slowly, to this market and economy, but it is inexorable, inevitable, and unavoidable to occur. Our mission statement here is to try and protect and profit during all macroeconomic conditions. While it is impossible to do that 100% of the time, we remain 100% focused on that aspiration and remain firmly grounded in achieving that reality.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.